And then the concluding verse here is one that is a classic and memorized by many. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. In other words, doing wrong on purpose. Generally when mistakes are made, they were done unintentionally. We didn't mean to make a mistake. We didn't mean to do it wrong. It was as a result of a misunderstanding or something. But, if our attitude isn't right about the job, if our attitude isn't right towards our employer, and we just want to do something to irritate him, then we might do something on purpose. I think it's rare and should be, but we might just to somehow show him our lack of submission. And that's what he's talking about here in our relationship with God as well. Keep thy servant from presumptuous sins, things that we do that we know are wrong, and we know it's going to displease God, but we just do it anyway. And so that involves our attitude. But if our attitude is one that desires to please the Lord, even though, we make mistakes, we don't always understand clearly what is required, but our heart is right and we're seeking the Lord and we want to please him, these words here in the 14th verse apply and are very important to us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's my desire. That's the desire of my heart, that my words, my attitudes, my actions, the fruit that I bear will be acceptable. Now I'd like to look at some more things we find here in the New Testament that tell us what is acceptable to God. He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we find that word acceptable used twice, once in each verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we see here how attitude enters into this. Again, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, before we're transformed, maybe it's easy for people to sin presumptuously, knowing that they're going against the word and the will of God, and they just do it anyway. But when the attitude changes, and when there is truly a renewing of the mind, and there's a transformation that has taken place in the heart, then we're going to desire to serve the Lord. Even though we may do it imperfectly, we may make mistakes, yet we want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does that to be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so again, we have that transformation from the old life where it was easy to sin presumptuously. But now we are light in the Lord, and now we should walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then also in 1 Peter 2:5, He says, ye also as lively stones. Again, there's an insinuation here that there's been a transformation that's taken place, and now we have become lively stones in this building that he's talking about, in the kingdom, in the house of God, in the spiritual house. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There are also some acceptable things mentioned that are more than specific to relationships. And, relationships are so important. I've talked to people in business already. I just talked to one again the other day. He said, relationship is everything. You know, in this business, it's all about relationship. And he was saying that in order for a business to succeed, there must be a relationship, and the relationship has to take priority. And so here also, in our relationship with God, it needs to take priority. In Romans, again, the 14th chapter here in this context, we have the context here of not being an offense to our brother. It says in eating meats and things like that, that offend, doing things that offend or cause a weaker brother to stumble. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Now, and approved of men. And going back then to the scripture in 1 Peter, where it says we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So the question is, you know, how much am I willing to sacrifice for my brother in order to be an encouragement to him? These things where I give up my will, where I give up my way for the sake of others. He says that this is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Our willingness to sacrifice one for another is acceptable to God. And we have the example of that again given in Paul's testimony to the Philippians, where it says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. As we reach out then also to relieve and to help one another in our material needs. our good testimony and our respect, even for secular authorities, is important to God. In 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How are they going to be exposed to that? How are they going to know about it? Who is going to teach them? Who's going to show them? That's up to us as believers. And we do that by showing them respect and submitting to their authority. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. And then finally, I have another scripture in 1 Peter 2:19-21. How we respond under pressure is a test of our godly character. It's hard for us sometimes to admit our mistakes, to say I was wrong, and to correct it. And sometimes it takes quite a bit of effort and time to make things right where we have made a mistake. And maybe we're apt to justify ourselves or to kind of talk back or push the blame on somebody else or whatever else we do to get ourselves off the hook. But here he says, tells us how we should work under pressure. In 1 Peter 2:19-21, for this is thankworthy, If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. So, you know, it's bad enough when we legitimately make a mistake and have to account for it. But when we are falsely accused, or if we somehow feel it wasn't our fault, and yet we're called to account, he says, if we take that patiently, that's acceptable with God. And so just some thoughts of things that are acceptable to God. Now, God has made a tremendous investment in us. First of all, he created us, and then he redeemed us by his Son. And we should bear fruit to his glory, a life of service, a relationship of love that is pleasing and acceptable to him. And I'm going to conclude with this verse in Hebrews 6, these few verses, where it says, "For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected." So we talked about the things that are accepted. Now here he tells us what is rejected. He says, "That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love," you know, even though it may be imperfect. And even though we make mistakes sometimes, even though we have to correct things sometimes or do them over, he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, making that sacrifice which is acceptable. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, a desire to do our best, showing that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Shall we kneel in prayer?